Even though our society can make you feel dispensable, not needed, unnecessary, and even expendable, I want you to know that God never will. He doesn't see it that way. Because maybe even in the church, we can feel that way sometime. Amongst the family of God, we can feel not needed. This can even cause a drifting or falling away of faith. Where there are some here today and gone tomorrow. But I want you to know, as God is speaking to our heart, that there are many parts that make up the family of God, and that every single part in the eyes of God, and it should be in the eyes of us, are indispensable. And so I want to share a message with you that I shared on January the 25th, 2019. The very first message I ever shared here at the Open Door, as I was coming, reminding us that we are indispensable parts, that God loves us with an undying love. And so as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20 through to 25, reading from the New King James Bible, here's what it says. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And so we look at this particular passage. We understand that the Apostle Paul was writing this to the church in Corinth. The church was going through a time of growth and a time of receiving from the Lord, but they also were starting to have division over who's more important and demonstrating servant care for the body. They were starting to divide over that because they started to look at these spiritual gifts that God had given us, and they started to characterize them. They started to put them in characterizations, and those that were more of the outward gifts, those that people were using to, you know, be of more of up front, they were being treasured and glorified and praised and honored more than those gifts that were being used to serve in more private places and more unseen things. And so it started to get to a point where there was causing division within the body of believers. And so Paul starts off this letter by saying, speak the same thing. Have no division among you. Be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Discerning the true treasure and blessings that we have. So the message of chapter 12 is, simply to stop exalting ourselves and the gifts that God has given us and start valuing the unique, important place that God has given to every member of the body, that we truly, in the eyes of God, are indispensable. So there were certain gifts in the Corinth church that didn't really need more recognition because of their outward visibility. See, I stand up here every Sunday just about, and you all see me all the time. And so there's no need for more of my outward visibility. But you know, just like that person that's unseen in the restroom and in the back door and the times in the classroom are just as important, just as valuable, just as needed for the kingdom of God. And so for the Corinth church, they had started to totally miss the point of the spiritual gifts, that they were intended always to build up the body of Christ in love, not to be applauded for us, not to be treasured as something great that we have done, but the great God that we serve, that he is truly blessing us. And so not valuing the gifts and the service of others in the body of believers causes a division, causes a schism, causes a hurt that God never desires or intended. And so today it could be any number of things that we can think about. In some congregations, it's the same as it was in Corinth. In others, it's the exact opposite. See, Paul wants to remind us that all are vital and needed. All play an important place in the kingdom of God and in the body of believers, and play an indispensable part in God's kingdom through our membership in the body of Christ. And so if you would look with me a little closer at that verse 22, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says this: "Know much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary." That word necessary means indispensable. See, it's the viewpoint that can get distorted when we are not having a spirit-led and a Christ-centered view. It's not weaker. See, that's our natural perspective on things. See, that word necessary is defined impossible to be otherwise. See, Paul says, are necessary. That word also means to be dispensed with. It's impossible to be dispensed with it. They are essential. The Greek word for that means of necessity. We have to, for the body to be fully edified. And so as we examine 1 Corinthians 12, 23, 24 a little bit farther, "And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on those we bestow greater honor." See, Paul was reminding us that those things that's done in the dark, God will reward openly if we trust him, if we obey him. That those members that's serving quietly and, you know, they're not up here getting any recognition from a public perspective. That God reminds us, on these we bestow greater honor. So we don't forget about anybody. We don't appreciate all the service that is done each and every day. See, earlier today, the teens and I was looking at the book of Exodus and the book of Hebrews when it talked about Moses. And Moses was in a position where he was in Pharaoh's court. And that scripture reminded us that he didn't, as he was teaching about his mother, he was learning about the God's people. It said he did not seek a natural reward. He did not seek all the riches and the glory and the things, but he desired riches from God. He desired to trust God. He desired to do God's will. And so on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. See, as we take a moment to just kind of break this down, that less honorable, you know, we can think it's not as important. And so Paul is reminding us that's the wrong thing to think about it. Just because we don't see it, just because it's not up front, it's unpresentable, that it's not less valuable. that they are valuable to the kingdom of God. And so that word modesty in the Greek is pronounced ados, excuse me. It means a sense of shame or humility that we're not trying to heap all the glory on our, but we're modest. We know that our riches are up in heaven, that we're seeking a greater reward. So that's what Moses said. He could have rested on the riches of the kingdom of Pharaoh, but he sought a greater reward. And so the Bible reminds us that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And so we see this being reflected by Paul, this humbleness of service, this humbleness of being unpresentable in doing the work of God, that we shouldn't forget about it. We should give honor to those to whom honor is due. See, our most presentable or visible parts need no special treatment. You know, people tell me all the time how appreciative and how thankful they are, and I'm so thankful for that. But let's not forget those that don't stand up here. And be thankful. See, he went on in verse 24 and 25 to say, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it. That doesn't get the appreciation, doesn't get the public form, because God composed it. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. See, it's so important that we fix our heart on that part where it says God composed the body. See, that word composed means he assembled, he combined, he fashioned. The gifts God gave you wasn't from Jeff Williams. They were from God and God alone. The service that he's called you to, God called you to it. He assembled. And he fitly joined the body together. See, I'm so thankful in my life that God called that lady that was willing to be in the bus ministry. That she was willing to get on that bus, drive in neighborhoods, knock on doors, and invite me to come hear about Jesus. I'm so thankful that Miss Montgomery was willing to be in that Sunday school class Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Because once I got there and she was at that door, and each Sunday she put her arms around me and she looked me in the eyes and she said, God loves you and so do I. And I'm so thankful that Sergeant Brown was willing to be persecuted and yelled at and told to shut up, but wouldn't stop sharing the love of God with me. See, those are indispensable parts. He may never know that I'm sharing how thankful I am for him. But God says, it's greater honor. That there should be no schism in the body. See, that Greek word schism literally means a split. It also means a separation. So, you know, we can be here present, but we can be separated in our spirit. We can be separated in our emotions with one another. So God so desires that his body, the church, that there would be no schism, that we would operate in harmony and accordance with him and in cooperation with him as body of believers. And so go back with me to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 23 and 24. See, in this verse, as it says, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on those we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. See, there's three key statements in this scripture that stands out. One, it seems to be weaker. See, all of these talks about the perspective and how we see things. How we measure strength, how we measure importance. We think less honorable. What we view as honorable, what we view as treasured, important, and unpresentable parts, what we perceive to be presentable, esteemed, highly important. See, perceptions and perspectives affect all of us. And we see this terminology all throughout our society and our world, lesser, less honorable, unpresentable. But these are just terms Paul was using to describe the Corinthians' attitude towards certain people's roles and gifts in the church. Their attitudes were displaying that certain Christians and even new Christians were not needed, are not as important to the body of Christ and the family of God. But I'm here to tell you what it is sounding. This is completely untrue. And see, as we're reminded of what God has done in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18, he says this, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. See, it should never be us doing this setting. Some of you all know I take some time when it comes to setting and putting people in place and those things because I always wanted to be God and not Jeff. Because God is the one that makes all things possible. He is the one that enlarges our territory. He is the one that opens doors and closes them. It's by him we move and breathe and have our being. And it's so important that we are always a Christ-centered and a God-led church. You don't need and you shouldn't want me to lead you in and of myself. But you want to be led of God. Lead me, Lord, and I will follow. So today's revelation, we cannot say or perceive that we don't need one another. If that thought crosses your mind, thrust it out. Every gift is important to the kingdom. No one person has all the gifts. So 1 Corinthians 12, verse 20 through 22, there's a part in verse 22 that's so important for us to fix our heart and mind on. First it says in verse 20, but now indeed there are many members, yet one body. Never let us forget that, saints. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Because see, when we're trying to do it all ourselves, or we're trying to just keep our parts not fitted together, it looks like a whole lot of parts just thrown all over the place. See, there's a fitted joined together that the Holy Spirit does in and through each and every one of us and as a body of believers. So verse 22 says, no, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, indispensable, valuable, can't be replaced, are absolutely necessary, essential, crucial, key, vital, required, called for, important. So I can keep going on and on, but hopefully you get to a point of understanding you are essential to God and to the body of believers. I saw this so prevalent over this weekend as I'm listening to the various different men that were sharing and allowing God to speak through them. And I felt the Holy Spirit. I felt God speaking to us in a mighty way. I wasn't the only one crying. I know sometimes we think I'm the only one that man that cries in the church, but I found out I'm not. There's a whole lot of crying men. And I'm so thankful for it. And I just want to share because God keeps speaking to my heart, Jeff, about these indispensable parts. And so I asked him, one of our gentlemen that shared yesterday, that if he would share today. Because again, we so need to hear from God. And sometimes that doesn't come through the voice of Jeff, it comes through the voice of others. And we need to make room for our hearts and minds and our spirit to hear the engrafted word of God. And the chosen vessel that he uses to speak through us will look different, will sound different, will have a lot of different varieties. But God is at the center of it. So I would ask Brother Martin to come up. He spoke about the value of godliness in crisis. And I would tell you it impacted and blessed my life, and I so want you all to be blessed by the words of God through him.
I love to break things down to their original dictionary definition. So crisis is a time of intense difficulty, trouble or danger, a time when a difficult or important decision must be made. And so the word that God gave me that kind of fit in with this was humility. That whenever a crisis hits, humility is also, it's taking a modest and low view of one's own importance. So as believers, as Christians, when we humble ourselves, we are literally bowing down. We are taking that knee and allowing Jesus to be lifted high. We are humbling ourselves so that he may be seated upon the throne of our hearts and our minds. And so before I share how the Lord showed this in my own life, my own personal experience of this, I want to first just give glory to God, and I want to point us to how Jesus demonstrated this humility. And so first, if you guys want to turn there, we're in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. I'm just going to kind of read through and give y'all just some different verses that the Lord really showed and kind of broke down for me to see it as well. So in Genesis, this is whenever Adam and Eve, they have already eaten of the fruit. They have disobeyed. They have sinned. And so we're picking up when God is walking, and then he begins to find out what has taken place. And so he's saying right now, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And the Father is speaking forth the redemption, the restoration plan of soon to come through Jesus at the cross. And so then if we go to Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 through 8, we see where Jesus is putting this into action, where it says that, instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity. And when he had come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. Jesus himself, our Savior, the Son of God, the Son of Man, too, had to humble himself to obey what the Father had spoken so many years before. And how many of you know that when crisis hits in our lives, when a difficult time, when trouble comes, we have to keep the clarity so we can have a clear mind of what is our Father speaking to us right now? What is he telling us? Because if it's left up to us, we will self-destruct. We will in ourselves, we're not capable of doing it whenever these difficult times come. And so humility, to humble ourselves before God, it really brings that reality of who is in control, okay? And so as we bow down again, and I keep kind of reiterating that, because it's that heart, that posture of the heart, where we have to take that that modest and low view. We have to humble ourselves, and so that he can be lifted high. Humility, it silences the noise of our flesh. And so, you know, when crisis hits, y'all, crisis is... it's always screams for attention. The you know, when we have difficult times that come and there's the chaos that's swarming and so much is happening, it's wanting to just really grab a hold of you. And so that's what I mean kind of earlier when I said it brings that clarity, because it allows all of it to be placed on Jesus. Jesus took everything at the cross. Okay, it's all of his responsibility, it's his authority, it's his power, everything. So when things happen in our own lives and we're hit with all of that, when we humble ourselves, it gives it all to him and it clears the air, because he's the one that knows how to deal with it. He's the one that knows what to do. Jesus, he shows us exactly the power of humility, that he too, like I had said, had to humble himself, to obey, to follow through. In my own life, a lot of you know, family, y'all been walking with me and my family, also with Josh and Victoria, and a year and a half ago, my mother-in-law, she unexpectedly passed away. 3 months later, my sister-in-law, she unexpectedly passed away. That was a very difficult time, and I didn't realize it till John had asked me to share on this topic and kind of going through of crisis. We have been, I guess, maybe going through a crisis whenever I thought about it. But I had no idea how the power of humility that in the one act, whenever we receive the call that day, we're all on a group call, and we receive the phone call that my mother-in-law had passed, and she was no longer with us. And my wife began to yell and groan and weep on the ground. And falling down with her, I remember in that moment, because we prayed so hard for her healing. She had gotten sick unexpectedly. We prayed so hard for her healing. And so it was kind of like, God, what happened? There was this anger. There was this confusion that as soon as it all went down, it tried to rush in. And then in that moment, I dropped to my knees and grabbed her and mustered everything within to pray, God, lead us right now. I don't feel anything. I have nothing to go off of. I can't. I have no emotion. I have no feeling. But all I know is God, lead us. And I discovered that we can't dig the well within our lives, that intimacy, whenever we are thirsty. It happens before. It happens prior. And so I had seen God's faithfulness that spending that intimacy and building that relationship with him, that whenever you don't know anything of going on around you, that he is so faithful and he is able to draw within, and he will his plan, he will come to pass, all that he has in store. And so I never even realized the power of humility, and it's really just, again, bowing down and allowing him to take the throne. It's allowing him to rule and abide day in and day out, always. And I'm not saying that I'm perfect, by no means. The past year and a half, I've had my doubts. I have had my struggles, too, of, God, you let me down. I didn't know I could be offended by God, y'all. You know, and there was a time of I didn't even know what to do with that, but because of the act of when it all took place, it allowed my heart to be in his direction. So when my mind, my head was trying to partner with the enemy and the things of this world and trying to crush in, my heart was still saying, no, God, you are faithful. I will look upon you, like Hebrews 12 says. I will fix my eyes upon you because you are the source, you are the author, you are the pioneer, you are the finisher. And so I was able to see that play out. And then the most valuable part was we have taken in my niece, my nephew. You guys know Alex. Y'all know Sophia. And so the valuable part of it that I can see, and John actually really helped me able to kind of see that as well, because how many of you know when you're in it, it's kind of hard. You know, you're just going one step at a time, you know. And so the details might not stick out to you like they do to others, but, you know, John really kind of made me see of just the fruit in Sophia's life, you know, and just the smile on her face. I know she's not here with us today. I'll be bragging on her. She'd get all embarrassed. But even the fruit in Alex's life, you know, and just choosing to just put it all in his hands, y'all. You know, so that he can have control. Because how many of you know we love to try, when crisis hits, we love to try and control it. You know, we are the ones that we think we have to bring about, you know, make sense of it all. We have to fix it. We have to, you know, do everything. But no, just like Jesus humbled himself. And we are to humble ourselves because God said he resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. So when we humble ourselves, his grace is sufficient. His grace expounds whatever situation we're in. And so it's letting go and fully trusting in him no matter what. Yeah, God's he's more able to define us. Because he's ultimately in control. We're putting ourselves over. And, you know, to kind of touch base back on when I said you can't dig the well when you're thirsty, I see now when I didn't see before all of the times where I stayed pursuing that intimacy with him when it didn't make sense. The feelings weren't there, but just, God, I'm here for you. God, I'm here for you. Like truly latching on to, I am yours and you are mine. What you did at the cross, you gave yourself so that we could fully, fully live with one another. That we can literally spend and do everything. And so it was in those times of just pursuing. Guys, I encourage all of you, even myself, to keep just pursuing that deeper intimacy, that deeper relationship with God, with the Lord. Because, man, he is so faithful. And when things happen, when things go down, he is there. So thank you all for letting me share that. Thank you, Pastor.
an indispensable part. Enough said, right? I'm reminded I was having a conversation with my brother Greg this past weekend, and we was talking about the wonderful creation that God has created, the body. And we were just kind of just spending a little time just thinking about the awe of just this physical body. Do you know that the human body has over 206 bones in it? But they are composed of 300 different pieces. Every piece has many parts. That there are over 100,000 hairs on the body. And that every part is dependent on every other part. The parts we mention and the parts we don't. The parts we see and the parts we don't. If one part hurts, every other part is involved in the hurt and in the healing. If one part flourishes, every other part enters into that exuberance. You are Christ's part body. You are a member and a part of Him. You must never forget this. Only as you accept your part of the body do you fully take part of all that God has for the body. I leave you with these words. Believers are called to love more than those whom they would naturally love. Believers are called to love and honor the not yet body of Christ, the one who will believe in Him. And that does not seem like very much, that we can be indispensable, that we can be perishable. You are the righteousness of Christ. You are created and fashioned for a divine purpose. You have immeasurable riches to share. You are extremely valuable to God. Just as that fighter jet worth $40 million, that O'Reen is only costs 50 cents. But without it, that fighter jet perishes. Let the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you would know the hope of His calling and the riches, the glory that's in His calling for your member. That God loves us so much, that we are valuable beyond measure. And I guarantee you, if we trust Him in all things, we lean not to our own understanding, He'll move God and direct this body into great glory for His kingdom. Not our glory, not our riches, but His glory and His riches. And it's because of the great work that He's doing in you. I'm so thankful for each and every one of you. Keep trusting. Keep loving Him. Know that you're valuable. And know that you are indispensable in the sight of God. Amen.